So Ed Gein, the musical, was really your coming out party in a way.
Yeah. Is that? Yeah. And yeah, and it really became its own kind of entity, and because it was so controversial, we got a national press and international press from BBC, Financial
sure.
Times,
yeah.
CBS National News, NPR, and it was really crazy. And then. And then after it had run, and then PBS had it on nationwide, and so a lot of good things from that. And I was like, well, let's put that to bed and do other projects. And then we did West mm-hmm. of Thunder, and Jody Marriott Barlev and Avi Barlev were our executive producers, and that had its own success. And then I've just kind of done different things, and I like to have different challenges. I like to try different things within the construct of creativity.
This episode of the Imperatif podcast is produced and distributed by Be Connected, a social media management firm in Northeast Wisconsin.
So welcome to the Imperatif podcast. This is episode 8 and or 008, like I like to number them. It's very aspirational, I think. But and my guest today is Dan Davies. Now, so Dan, as I was doing the research for your intro, as is the case with many of my guests, there's a number of things that are on your resume. So you are an actor,
mm-hmm.
you're a director,
mm-hmm.
you're an author of books, but also a screenwriter
mm-hmm.
and producer. Pretty impressive when you think about all of the different roles, but ultimately all of that's in and around the film industry.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're real good at one, a lot of times you're good at the others. So they're all kind of stepbrothers and stepsisters with each other. And if you're a good screenwriter, chances are you're a good author. And as an actor, I'm creating the characters. So it all kind of goes hand in glove, all those genres and all those jobs.
Yeah. And so all of those different jobs have led to a number of different successful projects. And just as I do a web search on you, I'm going to rattle off. Here are some of the films that came up. And some of these you were a writer, a contributor. Some of these you were the lead character, or maybe a supporting character. Others you were a producer. Wronged,
mm-hmm.
From the Furnace, Ed Gein the Musical, A Forest Dark, West of Thunder, Heartland Blues, A Trip to Jamaica, The Fuzz, Mr. Thursday, Happy Birthday. Now, I think there's a premiere coming out
yeah.
for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then film, the movie.
Flim.
Yeah. Flim. Oh, sorry.
Flim.
I misread it there. Yeah, thanks. And then I Dream of...
Psychopomp.
Psychopomp. Yeah, thanks for... I had to make sure I was reading that right. And then Tempting Fate. So that's the list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing there's some things missing from that list, but...
There's a number of them, and, some of those movies are better than others, and some I really, really enjoy and brag on, and other times I'm just very honest about.
Yeah, I totally get that sentiment. So for what it's worth, I bought Ed Gein the Musical last night on Amazon Prime, because I thought I'm gonna buy it so that I can share it with people, down the road. But anyway, so last night was just like I thought, hey, Dan's coming in, I gotta watch one of his movies, so I picked that one. So
thank you.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. There's some great kind of tongue in cheek humor.
Yeah,
that I found quite entertaining.
Well, I'm glad you. It's a different cup of tea, that's for sure.
It is. Yeah, but I can definitely see the kind of cult appeal.
Yeah,
that it has.
It does have that, and that's really that's a great blessing. I'm very fortunate that there's a large portion of people that like it, which is really cool. And there's some that hate it, and that's okay too.
So there's an icebreaker question that'll kind of tease at some of the haters. Anyway, I want to get into the cocktail a little bit and talk about that. So Dan had asked for, when we talked ahead of time, he said, you know what? I really love old fashions. And could you make me a carbless or sugar-free or diet old fashioned? And so I went to Lulu, the podcast mixologist, with this challenge. And I thought, this is great. She'll love this challenge. And I thought she did a really nice job. So what we have, I'll say, is a healthy old fashioned.
That's awesome.
I wouldn't say it's carb free by any means.
Yeah.
But I'll just give you kind of a rundown of the ingredients.
Sure.
But before I do, I found in my research the perfect segue into this, to our discussion of the cocktail. And so without further ado, here we go, is the intro on the pod, on the cocktail.
You, ma'am, have hot flashes and pains in your wrists. You, sir, have residual back pain from falling off your horse exactly 26 days ago. And you, sir, have the bane of modern man. You were once young and virile. My elixir can put the Jesse back in your James. Put the Charles in your Dickens. Put the bat in your Masterson, the kid in your Billy, and put the Wild Bill in your Hickok.
All right. So when I found that, I thought there's certainly some naming inspiration from that. Of course, that's Dan Davies. Dan, what was that film?
That was from West of Thunder.
West of Thunder.
Yeah.
So,
everywhere.
Sorry, we're going to get a little bit of
for family farms to make ends
YouTube easier. Commercial going on here. Sorry, I was trying to flip back to something. But in any case, I thought that, you know, you're pitching an elixir and we've got this healthy old fashioned that we've crafted. And so how perfect is that
the old
intro?
Snake oil.
So we've got some snake oil for you here, Dan.
Great.
Let me hop off here and I'm going to bring over your cocktail.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm very excited. Thank you for playing that West of Thunder snippet. Oh, thank you so much.
Sir.
Thank you.
And, cheers.
Well, cheers. Oh my gosh, is that good?
Oh yeah, I like that. What'd I do? Here we go.
Wow.
So, okay, let's talk about what is in the cocktail.
Wow.
It starts off like any other old fashioned. You can use a bourbon, you can use a brandy. In my case, I chose a rye whiskey. And specifically, Angel's Envy, bear with me. Finished rye. It is aged in rum casks.
Oh, perfect.
And so that to me was
rum quality.
Yeah, it just gave it that like to me that was going to be a good compliment. So that's my contribution. Lulu said, pick your spirit, you know, in those categories, and so I went with the Angel's Envy. And okay, so that's our base ingredient. Then we put in some date syrup.
Okay.
So date syrup is a sweetener, but it's a natural sweetener, so we're not using anything artificial. And date syrup actually has some dietary fiber in it.
So then it lowers the sugar content.
That's right, lowers the carb, the way your
carb
body
content.
Processes it because of the.
I've never even thought of that. That's amazing.
And so date syrup is not an easy thing to find. So when we publish the recipe on the website, we'll include some directions on how to make your own date syrup.
Sure.
But I did find some date syrup after looking around a bit at Woodman's.
Oh, perfect.
And they had that in the health food section.
Oh, great. Was Mr. Woodman milling about with his son?
I did have to find a manager to help me locate the date syrup. It was on their website, so I knew they had it. Or at least I hoped. But so that brings down the carb count in terms of how your body processes those sugars, and the dietary fiber helps with digestion and things like that. So then some orange bitters and some aromatic bitters, so kind of Angostura orange bitters and your kind of traditional bitters. And then you put all of that into a glass and you mix it. Now the date syrup's very thick. It takes a while.
I would imagine
5 minutes to just kind of stir that date syrup into the cocktail. And then the last not the last, but once you're done with that, you pour it out of your mixing glass, and you want to mix it with some ice, and that ice kind of helps to kind of water the it dilutes the cocktail a little bit, because this is all alcohol, and it just helps kind of soften the flavor, you know, the flavor tones there a little bit. And then there is a what's called a tawny port. That is, it's finished with this tawny port. So that's a red wine, right? Typically kind of thought of as a cooking wine, but it's a drinking wine too. Now, tawny is sort of like another word for port. It's kind of a subtype of port, specifically from Portugal, where port originates from.
Okay.
And so again, tawny is not something you're going to just find at the grocery store, but Woodman's came through yet again with their impressive liquor department. So I really need to seek a sponsorship, I think.
You should talk to Mr. Woodman or his son.
So that's got some potential. But anyway, I took some close-up footage of pouring the tawny in, but the inspiration behind the tawny is really kind of inspired by some of the films that you've been in, and particular, you know, the Ed Gein. It has a sort of blood-like quality to it as it goes into the cocktail. So there's a bit of a visual that you can kind of play off when you're pouring this. So I used actually a pour spout on the bottle of wine. Just kind of hold that up to the cocktail or to the camera here, the pour spout, so that as I'm pouring in the tawny port, it sort of drips in.
Sure.
You know.
Beautiful.
But I specifically picked Sandemann. I think is how you pronounce that. Again, it's going to be from Portugal. But Sandemann has this caped figure as their sort of mascot or logo. And that to me kind of felt like it could be a character in one of your films. And
West of Thunder, I wore a Western cape.
Sure, yeah. So this is what they call a student's cape. It's a Portuguese thing. I had to do a little bit of research to find out what this character was all about, to see if there was a tie-in. There's not really, but he's called the Don, for what it's worth. Here, we'll hold that up to the camera as well. So that's our...
Sandemann,
yeah. Okay. And really, you could go with any Tawny Port, but I just thought the character on there sort of made me think of some of your films. And then last thing, which is really a little bit of theatrics, is there's a lemon peel in there.
Okay.
Now, lemon peels have oil in them, and they're essential oils that have some health qualities. And I don't recall specifically anymore, but they're also flammable.
Oh.
And so you heat the lemon skin with a lighter to get those oils to kind of to express the oils. And so it'll get kind of shimmery, and then you squeeze it. And if you squeeze it into the flame, it'll go and give you this little shot of flame.
Sure.
And it's just theatrics, really. But then, you know, now that the oils are sort of on the surface of the skin, you throw the skin in there and it just kind of tops it off.
This is absolutely, you know what it reminds me of, Mike? It's, I've been to places like in New York or Chicago that actually do the old school cocktails that were big, let's say, in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, okay.
This reminds me of what an old fashioned might have been in the 20s, 30s, or 40s. It just has that, I hate saying it, but film noir quality.
Sure.
But it's awesome.
It does. So anyway, I thought that maybe I'd show you that bit of flash, but in the interest of time, I'm going to keep us rolling here. We'll edit in, because I do have some footage of that.
Sure.
We'll edit that into the episode.
That's awesome.
You know, during this bit. Of course, as always, this cocktail is inspired by my guest, Dan Davies. So this is a one-of-a-kind, crafted for this episode, crafted for Dan. And we've got to give it a name, Dan.
Well, you know, since there's wine in it, a port wine in it, and our earlier conversation before we were on air, was about when Christ was at the wedding at Cana you know, turned water into wine. So what's the Cana?
The Cana?
Or the old Dan fashioned? I don't know. But what an honor, Mike, to have a drink named after myself after me. That's thank you. I'm speechless actually, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And again, Lulu has come through with another great cocktail.
She did an amazing job.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch her podcast and listen to it and watch it as well.
Yeah. She does have a website. I'm going from memory here, but I think it's suitablysloshed.com.
That's basically me every Friday and Saturday night.
I should have added that to your intro, like self-described functioning alcoholic.
Yeah, high functioning. My dad always wanted me to put that in there.
Said, high functioning.
You know, he goes, you're high functioning. Danny, let me tell you, my son, you're high functioning alcoholic. You're doing your people really well. You're Irish and Indian. You're doing them both. Justice.
I think I'd have liked your dad.
He just passed a couple years ago, and was just a wonderful guy. Really was.
Yeah, that's great. But what a great, just in a nugget there, sense of his personality.
Yeah. He was so, that way. Yeah. Very, very funny. Really interesting. A complex man. A little different, complicated,
sure,
but wonderful. You know, was a great dad.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I think we all need a great dad and
you bet
influence in our lives.
You know, that's the number one, you know, earthly purpose. You know, if you have kids, you know, first of all, your husband, then you're a great dad. It's the most important jobs you know you have in the world.
Yeah.
So on this plane of existence.
So this sparked a thought for me along those lines. So you started our conversation today with some scripture and some, you know, kind of referencing the wedding at Cana and the story behind that, where Jesus turns water into wine. And so when you talk about fatherhood, you know, sticking again with the Holy Family there, the you know, Joseph has always been an inspiration to me.
Yeah.
He never utters a word in the Bible.
No.
Yet he is this man that, you know, protected his family.
Yep.
And he did it in a humble way.
Very humble way. Loved his son, and he knew exactly who his son was.
Right.
Knew exactly that he was God incarnate, that he was the Moshiach, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. And he was a great, great dad. Not just a stepdad, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when God chose Mary, you know, he also chose Joseph. And that's important to know. Yeah, he did. He just kind of kept his, you know, he just loved his son and loved his wife. And, you know, isn't that the most important thing in the world to do?
It is. And, like, for me, that humility is where I really try to draw inspiration and, like, look for guidance at times.
Yeah.
As, it, you know, I'll say maybe not to your level of success, but someone who enjoys the spotlight. Being on stage, I've gotten the great fortune to do a lot of very interesting things, and I have never wanted my life to overshadow my wife's or my kids.
Yeah, because you've got, what, like 27 kids, Mike?
Well, not quite that many, but five. I do have five.
No, that's what a blessing, man. That's pretty freaking kick ass. That's amazing. That's a big family nowadays.
It is.
That's a massive family. You know, it's like the circus comes to town. You know, and when you go out to eat, it's like, wow, how many of these are yours? You know, they all are.
Yeah, and then the follow up question: all with the same woman?
That's awesome.
In my case, yes.
No, that's awesome. What a blessing. That's amazing.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, it's again, it's why we're here, and you know, and it's one of the major reasons why we're here, and being a great dad, and being a humble, you know, dad, and just, you know, showing the kids, hey, I'm your dad, I'm not your friend, but I'll be your best friend someday. When you turn 21, we'll go out for a wine or a beer, and then we could be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, no.
I'm your dad.
I'm just your dad.
Yeah.
Hey, your friend.
You got it. So my oldest is 20.
Oh, okay.
And I've got another one that's 18, so I've got a couple adult children now. And so that's kind of new territory for me, trying to figure out what dad looks like in that environment.
Sure.
So
that's awesome.
I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah. So the age range goes from 20 to
9.
Nice.
Yeah, and the 9-year-old was the one that got the door when you came.
What a great guy.
So
yeah. Just a beautiful head of curly hair before I have these toupees, man.
I know.
That's what my hair was. I'm like, yeah. I miss that. Literally, my hair was, I had the white man's afro, and growing up, and then people would hide things in my hair, like the girl behind me in school. I'd get home and there'd be a pencil or an eraser stuck in my hair. And I would hide sandwiches in my hair, like literally, like chunks of sandwich in my hair. But now it's just all manufactured and grown on a farm in India, you know, which is okay.
Well, I can certainly relate to the sentiment of hair envy.
But it looks good, man.
Yeah.
You know, you shaved it all down. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, it looks good.
Yeah, so I guess I lucked out in that regard because, yeah, it sort of works for me, right? But I didn't know going into it. So there was a little bit of risk.
Well, you don't know if you're going to have like some weird ass, you know, bump on your head or something like that where people are staring at it going, is that where you keep your luggage?
You know? Right. I will say that over the years as I get older, there are things growing on my head that
weren't
weird. There before.
And then we don't get hair on top. We get hair at different places on our ears. I have one in the middle of my nose. Which is just strange. It's like, wow.
So I get one out of the middle of my forehead.
Okay.
And it just shows up. And it'll be like 2 inches long.
Yeah, that's the thing. Mine shows up too. It's like all of it. It's like, it's touching people. I'm talking to somebody and you're, hey, your nose hair is touching me. Can we
but it wasn't there down? Like 5 minutes
no,
ago.
No, it was crazy. That's the weirdest thing too. It's like I look in the mirror. I'm like, what the hell? How come I didn't notice this?
I'm glad to know I'm not the only one, Dan.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, well, we're gonna kind of let this settle for a bit and come back to the naming thing. Okay. We had a couple options thrown out there. I thought the skit that I played earlier, the part from
West of Thunder
was there was some naming inspiration in there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's when it aired on Hulu, it was neat because I got such a neat kind of response from people that had kind of ferreted me out via IMDb. And they specifically like that scene because it has a double entendre throughout it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny, too, when I was doing that, those people I was pointing to, each one of them had that malady. So that's real.
Like in real life?
In real life.
Perfect. It always helps when there's a little like real inspiration.
Yeah,
to
you
make
bet.
The,
that's
to make
method,
the film grow.
Right? Method.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but anyway, I do want to kind of pivot here and get into our icebreaker questions. So this is just a fun segment that sometimes sparks a bit of conversation. I'm gonna try like kind of rapid fire. Let's just go through. Don't hesitate. Just the first thing that comes to mind. Just spit it out. Okay. And so in front of you is an ice bucket.
Yep.
And I'm going to see if I can get the ice bucket. No, it's not quite on camera, but that's okay.
You inside, want me to move it?
Nah, it's fine.
Okay.
Inside that ice bucket is a bunch of questions written out. And so let's go through them. Pick them out.
Okay.
And
just
rapid,
one at a time.
Rapid fire. Yeah.
Okay. Who is your favorite co-star? Eric Roberts, Academy nominated actor, Golden Globe winner, Eric Roberts. Eric's a good guy. Eric essentially knew I was from Wisconsin and invited me back to his condo that we were staying at and had roasted chicken, packets of mayonnaise, and Heineken.
What a nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, thanks
guy.
Thanks for being here. Here's a little taste of
home. Just keep going with this?
Yep. Just keep going. Okay. Yeah. You got it.
Do you want me to extrapolate on them or just one word answers?
Just keep it short and then we'll come back to the ones that are.
Have you gotten hate mail? And if so, what's your favorite? For Ed Gein the Musical, an 80-some-year-old lady wanted to basically brutally murder me because
for crying
of the
out loud.
Yeah, because of the controversy behind Ed Gein the Musical. Have you ever walked off a set? Yes, I did on a film with D.B. Sweeney because of problems never got released called Mr. Thursday. I walked off the set, went straight into a bar in Davenport, Iowa. Okay.
And what'd you order?
I'm usually a beer guy. Okay. So it was like a Pabst, or they had like Pabst or Old Style there, I think it was. Do you rather drink beer or work out? I love both, to be honest with you, but I'd much rather be drinking a beer after a workout.
There you go.
Okay, let's see.
Or before, for a little bit of carb loading. Yeah.
If your life were a meme, what would the caption be? Dear Lord, I am so screwed.
Okay.
So let's see. What was your most critically acclaimed film? West of Thunder.
Okay.
Was by far, and that's my favorite film too.
Yeah. Okay. I think that question's in there somewhere.
Okay. What is your favorite role you've ever played? Henry Seed from West of Thunder is by far. I was able to do an homage to my ethnicity and to just a lot of things. What do you like better, writing, acting, or directing? I love writing. Acting is great. Secondarily, directing is third. Do you want all these answered, Mike?
Yeah. Oh, keep rolling. Excellent. You bet. Okay. Yeah.
Who's the most famous person in the contacts on your phone? You know, I've had conversations with John Travolta and Ethan Hawke. But contacts, I'm trying to run through a bunch, and I probably shouldn't say any of them.
So there's been a suggestion that we have you bring up your phone and actually let's give them a call. But no, we don't
they're
have to
all
do
under
that.
Weird names. What is your favorite dumb response when you tell people what you do? Shoot, I don't know. Well, and I'm not politically correct when I say this, but a lot of times people will say, hey there, young man. So, thank you. I'm not young, but thank you for the compliment. Well, you look kind of sort of familiar. What do you do? I star in gay midget porn.
I love it. So,
and I'm 6'1" and heterosexual, but that's where the acting comes in. You know, what's the craziest thing that ever happened on set? Oh, dear Lord. There's too many, too many to even scratch the surface. Oh my gosh. And most of them not good.
Not appropriate for all audiences.
I wish they were total hijinks and hilarity, but they're not. What's the biggest movie project you've ever worked on? A Trip to Jamaica has been seen by like 100 million people worldwide. That was on Netflix. It was the number one African Nollywood movie of all time and blah, blah, blah. And that was crazy.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible film.
But you got some awards, though, from that film.
Yeah, African Academy Award and Golden Movie Award and all kinds of stuff. But it's terrible. what is your favorite movie? You know, obviously, like, I love Star Wars. I love Casablanca, Bridge Over the River Kwai. It's a Wonderful Life, probably, though. Such a wonderful film.
Timeless, yeah.
Yeah, it's timeless. And it teaches us so many great lessons. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Stewart's an amazing actor. Any accidents that ended up making the final cut? I just did this film called The Lion and the Narcissist, and we came up with this really cool scene that was essentially sort of improv, and it was a happy accident. It turned out so well. So, and that's coming out in September, actually. So
I like that. I've done some improv that can be really fun.
It's really, have you ever been recognized in public? Yes. For terrible reasons. I saw you drunk and semi-nude in my neighbor's salsa garden. what is your most financially successful film? A trip to Jamaica by far.
Okay.
Which is massively just
from the,
huge.
The global audience. Yeah.
In worldwide audience and a Netflix audience on top of that. What was your biggest flop? Well, Mr. Thursday, because it never... got released.
Sure.
And there was a lot of, you know, it wasn't a cheap film to make either. What is an unusual talent that you have? That's a great question. I wish I can't do rapid fire. I think I can do like voices of people in different professions, like celebrities in different professions, I think. You know, like if James T. Kirk you know, was a taxi driver, you know.
Okay, taxi. Yeah, sure.
My name is James T. Kerr. I'm your taxi driver. You can call me Captain. You know, and it's not very good.
I like it.
It's not very good.
It's more entertaining than mine, I'll tell you that.
What is yours?
Well, I have stupid human tricks. Mm. So that's what I'm good at. And it's a lot of like different little things, but I'll tell you, it's really great for entertaining small children. And
that's awesome.
So I'll give you an example. So I can make a cricket sound.
Okay.
And we'll see. I might have to step back from the mic here.
Oh, that's nice.
So that, you know, kind of.
Oh, you get them out here on the lake, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, crickets, yeah. And. Probably the loudest thing are the trumpeter swans that come in,
yeah,
in the spring as, yeah, they're migrating north, and those things,
yeah, they're loud, surprisingly. Yeah.
And they're only loud at night.
Oh, okay.
When everybody's sleeping, they just sit out there in the lake and just,
yeah, I'm a block away from the Fox River, so
okay.
I'm not sure. So, but I might have heard them before, but
yeah, they've got to be thousands when they hit the lake, and they'll, wow, be here for a couple of nights and then they're gone. But
oh, that's awesome!
Yeah,
that's
it, so cool. It is really kind of a neat environment. So I don't know if the wide shot here, it gets washed out a little bit because there's too much light coming in from outside. But mm-hmm. You know, that's the lake, beautiful, is out there, and it's a great spot for sure.
It really is. Wow.
But yeah. So thanks for taking us through the rapid fire questions. I always have a little bit of fun coming up with some questions that. You know, might spark some conversation, but I went the rapid fire route, because, I'm learning more, you know, as I do this podcast about what people want and what kind of content they want in, especially in social media. And what I've learned is that people have very short attention spans. Mm-hmm. And so there's a whole backstory about how I landed on a podcast as a media, because it turns out I hate social media.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason, because it seems like the content that does well on social media, lacks production quality.
Yeah.
And it lacks professional, and it frustrates the heck out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so podcasting, however, has a different type of audience that does value the production quality a little bit more,
mm-hmm,
and is willing to they have a little bit longer attention span.
Yeah.
But I want to use social media to promote the podcast. So I thought maybe this rapid fire thing could create some bits,
sure,
that we can use. Oh, for
I loved all those questions.
Social
great.
Media. So, but anyway, so that's a little bit of the thought process that,
yeah,
went
that's
into.
That's awesome. Yeah. People have the attention span of a gnat,
yeah,
you know, nowadays, yeah,
online, you're just
really,
swipe.
Yeah, sad, yeah, you know, yeah. And I think it kind of fosters ADD and ADHD. I mean, everybody has a version of that on some, mm-hmm, level. You know, like, as a matter of fact, as I'm talking to you, I see a squirrel out there licking on an ice cream cone.
An actual squirrel.
Yeah, it's vanilla, I think. And then I saw your neighbor's dog, too, which is a beautiful black lab. So, But that's awesome. If you can catch their attention, you know, through the rapid-fire questions, that's... You know, that's half the battle right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I'll say the experiment. So
yeah,
we're gonna see how that strikes
I love
the online
this
audiences.
Really, really awesome. Mike, that's the thing too. It's like people should be able to kind of stretch, you know, the envelope or stretch their boundaries a little to do these things. And we're all given God-given talents, and we just have to find out what those are and use those. You know, mine was drinking and passing out, again, semi-nude in my neighbor's salsa garden. But everybody has to have a skill.
Yeah, and the entertainment value on that's like through
the
roof.
Well, it's huge.
Yeah.
You know, remember, I'm semi-nude.
Right, you, yeah. Know, you got to leave something.
Yeah.
For the imagination.
For the imagination. Well, this drink kind of hit me. I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoy it. So I had to practice, because I got to tell you, I've learned now when it comes to Lulu's recipes that... I should not save the first time for the episode, because,
yeah,
I'm going to screw it up.
Yeah.
And part of that's because I'm an idiot and I really have no idea what I'm doing. But so I practiced a couple of times. I had my wife try it. She's like, it's not for me. And I'm like, I really like it.
I really like it. Again, yeah, it harkens back to the day, because I had gone to, in New York and in Chicago, places that serve the actual cocktail recipes, the actual cocktails were big during, you know, Prohibition, these little speakeasies or whatever, but they were they were crafted, and that's, I think, where mixology kind of started, with that type of, and this is like really, really tasty. This is really good.
Yeah, I'm glad you think so. And I don't know how far we can push this like healthy concept.
Yeah.
But
well, that's the thing. It's like
by comparison.
When you're, I always tell people it's incremental. So when like I'm trying to lose some weight for an upcoming film project, but do it incrementally. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, but if you can cut out, you know, sugared sodas and replace it with water, if you can, you know, incorporate 30 squats, you know, repetitions of squats freehand a day, you're going to be far ahead. If you can get 45 minutes and work to an hour and a half walking a day, you know, there's certain things that you can do simply and incrementally to get yourself healthy. And if this can take, you know, 80 grams of carbohydrates or 80 grams of sugar and take it down to 10, then it is healthier.
Well, we've got, you know, the digestive qualities of the date syrup, and we've got the the essential oils and the lemon peel. So
this is a winner. Like, serious. I think Mr. Woodman and his son, I mean, I think that's his name, right? Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
He saw me at Woodman's one time a number of years ago in Appleton, and I was wearing like a muscle shirt, and he's like, "Are you lifting some weights there?" You know, hello,
that's
Mr.
awesome.
Woodman, how are you? Just putting up potato chips or something. Like, he was stocking stuff. He's
yeah, so the,
like,
the commercials he always used to be on, that's just actually him.
That's like him. This, yeah. He's just like, you know, I was like, first of all, it's a compliment. Yeah. Second of all, he's still working, putting potato chips on the rack. You know, he's worth, what, probably $100 million.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt.
Good for him, though.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
For sure. So... yeah, Woodman's is definitely me on my list of like sponsors to approach.
Yeah,
because I find that with Lulu's cocktails, there's always some obscure ingredient.
Yeah,
and they've come through more than once.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I mean, to have, you know, their variety is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you always want to try to quote unquote shop local. Mm-hmm. You're kind of hitting both, you know, home runs with that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, you know, I'm more of a beer drinker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is exceptional.
Well, so before I forget, I've got the recipe printed off over here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for you to take with you. So you've got it handy.
Perfect.
Obviously, we'll get it up on the website and everything when the episode goes live. And,
oh, this is just but, so good.
Yeah, take that with you. Oh. Also, while I'm thinking of it, that beverage tote in front of you is yours to keep as well.
This?
Yeah. That's, yeah. So that's a little Amperitif branded beverage tote.
That's awesome.
So you can
perfect
throw your favorite beer in there.
Yeah, or red wine bottle.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, because I do reds. I don't do whites.
I'm generally the other way around. I do the whites.
You're a white?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a red. Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is great.
All right, so let's see. You need to be in Appleton in about 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I want to spend a little bit of time on just kind of the origin story a little bit. I find that's interesting.
Yeah.
And really, when I think about why I did this podcast, it's because I'm really impressed by the people like yourself that are making it happen. They're getting it done. They're following their passion in a career that most dads would tell you to avoid, right?
Yeah,
Going back to our dad conversation. Yeah. But you made a different decision than me. I went the corporate route. I did the entertainment thing for a while and said, no, I got to settle down. But you've stuck with it and made a career out of it. And everybody on the podcast kind of fits that sort of profile. You've made a career out of it. You made a go of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of taking us back to how you got started and maybe some of the challenges along the way.
Sure.
And what kind of drove you in the decisions you had to make to kind of really, again, stick with it and make it happen?
Oh, that's, first of all, great question. You know, I, again, like I come from kind of genteel poverty, and I had a lateral lisp, and when I got nervous, I had a stutter, and I was also, you know, poor, and my dad was in and out of jail and in prison. My mom was in and out of hospitals and died prematurely, and so my life kind of growing up was pretty hard scrabble. But I realized I was good at, when you don't have a lot of money and you have a shit ton of brothers and sisters, especially all my brothers and myself in one room, one bedroom, we needed entertainment. So, and when my cousins were over too, there'd be, you know, 8-9 guys in one room, and growing up, they'd say, "Hey, Danny, tell us a story." And I was able to craft stories, and then they would add elements to that story. They'd say, "Bring an alien in, or a blue stone, or something off the wall." And sure, I was able to always interweave that and web that into the story, and weave that into the story. And people, you know, they really enjoyed it. And I thought, well, I'm pretty good at this. But it was just kind of, it was kind of forced into a corner. When you don't have a lot of money, you have to entertain yourselves in different ways. So that was always fun. And I thought, well, geez, I'm pretty good at this. If I can make people laugh or make them feel like they've been entertained. And that's kind of the impetus behind it. Mm-hmm. Then I never was really afraid to be in front of people. I actually probably felt more comfortable in front of 1,000 people than I did one-on-one.
I can totally relate to that sentiment.
Which is very strange, because it's usually obviously the other way around. But I did. I felt a connection that way. And so that's kind of how it started. And then I was in high school, did musicals, and my musical director at Wapaka High School, Wapaka, Wisconsin, was Gerald Kniffel. And his first student when he was in Germany was Priscilla Presley. And he got to know Elvis really well, like really, really well, because he was Priscilla's guardian when they would go to dances and things like that. She was only 15 or so. He was 19, 20. So they needed a guardian, and so or chaperone or whatever they call it. Not maybe they wouldn't call it a guardian, but a chaperone. And he got to know Elvis. And I said, "What was he like?" He said, "He was the nicest human I've ever met." Hmm. He said he was just a pure and utter gentleman. He said, "I've never met anybody." And then he kind of, as an aside, he said, "Danny," he said, "you've got some of that charisma." I said, "Well, what? Elvis? What?" Yeah. You know, and he's
comparing me to Elvis.
Yeah, and then I got the lead in these musicals in Wapaka, and they were like really a big deal. The Milwaukee Sentinel Journal did, you know, front page stuff about it. It was crazy how well received those were. And then he said, "You know, you could do this for a living if you so desire. You've got what it takes. You've got that X quality or charisma or whatever." Mm-hmm. And I went, "I don't know." Went to UW La Crosse and, you know, drank a lot and got a couple of degrees. And then I was like, you know, I think I could probably get into it. And then started my own company in 2006 with my business partner. And we just crafted. We made Ed Gein the musical and kind of and premiered in 2010, and the rest is kind of history. But that's it in a nutshell.
So. Yeah, yeah. So Ed Gein the musical was really your coming out party in a way.
Yeah. Is that? Yeah. And it really became its own kind of entity, and because it was so controversial, we got, you know, national press and international press from, you know, BBC, Financial Times, CBS, National News, NPR, and it was really crazy. And then after it had run, and then PBS had it on nationwide, and so a lot of good things from that. And then I was like, well, let's put that to bed and do other projects. And then we did West of Thunder, and Jody Marriott Barlev and Avi Barlev were our executive producers, and that had its own success. And then I've just kind of done different things, and I like to have different challenges. I like to try different things within the construct of creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I could be a mathematician, you know, maybe a math magician. You know, 2 + 2 = You know, I don't know what that means even. This is awesome.
starting to settle in.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm a beer drinker, but this, first of all, it's tasty.
Yeah,
and wonderful.
And there is nothing to dilute the alcohol. I mean, when you go through it, it's whiskey, it's the bitters, it's the wine.
If we could bottle this and call it an old fashioned, you know, like how they would, because this literally, it just reminds me, in a good way, the 20s, mm-hmm. 30s, and 40s. Mm-hmm. So, but I digress. But I just forgot what I was talking about.
Well, let's see. There was something in there that that I thought would be a little fun to poke around at, but no, it's escaping me too.
No, this is awesome. It's absolutely tasty. And but again, kind of, you know, within, I'm not going to be good at anything other than what I was designed for. You know, we're created by the creator, mm-hmm. to create. Mm-hmm. We're designed by the designer to design. And that's we're crafted as creative beings. We need to sing. We need to dance. Mm-hmm. We need to listen to music. We need, mm-hmm. to watch dance, you know.
Well, all of that kind of going back to the whole spiritual realm, you know, someone said to me once that God wants us to be joyful. He wants us to experience, yeah. joy.
Yeah.
And so all of that kind of speaks to that element. And I believe that's true. Like, God really wants us,
yeah.
to have joyful lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, that element of creativity and, you know, the joy that kind of comes with that.
Yeah. Even the construct of hallelujah, you know, just that, you know, if you think of it, it's joyful noise to God's ears,
mm-hmm.
and it's, mm-hmm. joyful noise to our ears.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I know what I'm doing, and you guys enjoy this. These are the gifts that are given. I mean, life is tough, man. It's tough. And the things that give us joy a lot of times are the creative endeavors. Even sports is in essence a creative endeavor. And if you think about it, it really is. And it's their way of physically becoming creative. You know, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan was, you know, painted, you know, was a poet, was a ballerina, you know, and ballet artist when he played. And Willie Mays the same way. And so, you know, it's just something for us to enjoy.
So that sports reference reminded me of the thing I wanted to poke around at a little bit. So I'm going back to high school now, when you were in those musicals and getting some notoriety. And I'm thinking, all right, would you say 6'2"?
I'm 6'1".
6'1"? All right. Yeah. But like, so I'm 5'8". So 6'1" is a big guy to me, right? And I'm thinking, all right, Waupaca, Wisconsin, 6'1". This kid should have been a linebacker,
yeah.
on the football team. He's in theater. Small enough community, though. You might have done both.
You know, Waupaca was really cool because we had a lot of the football players and basketball players and baseball players in choir. Like, mm-hmm. Gerald Kniffel was really cool about just saying, guys, you want to be well-rounded. You just don't want to,
awesome.
Be a jock. You want to be...
That's,
you know,
awesome.
All, you know, all of these things, and a man for all seasons, a Renaissance person. So we did have, the athletes were in choir. I mean, it was a high school 800, and 500 to 600 of the kids were either in band or choir. So literally 3/4 of the high school was involved. And that's Jerry Kniffel. And he's in heaven right now and died. Oh boy, I can't even remember. But what a wonderful man!
Mm-hmm.
And loved people. And,
that's great.
And, you know, loved God and loved people. Loved alcohol. Holy shit, did he get drunk? Jeez.
There's a theme there.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I was 16 and I was the one of the leads in the the play, he's like, Danny, come to my house. We're having a like closing party, you know, you got all kinds of food and all kinds of stuff. Why don't you show up and just enjoy yourself? I'm like, sure, Mr. Kniffel, Mr. K, I'll do that. You know, so I'm like, do, 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 do. Get there, and he goes, Danny, what would you like to drink? I'm like, well, I don't know, 7 Up. And he goes, you like beer, don't you? So he hands me this ice cold, I think it was Old Style or Miller or whatever. And I'm like, wow, this is great.
That's the kind of thing that just would not happen.
No,
today.
Hell no. No, today, oh, dear Lord, they'd arrest his ass.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But he really had a love for people and knew that too. And he said, these are God's gifts. These are things we need to enjoy. We can enjoy a Packer game as much as we can enjoy the opera or a concert or, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
a book.
I would like to have met this man.
Oh, he was such Mike, you would have loved him. Yeah. And I'm sorry I'm going kind of off on him a little bit, but not off on him, but I'm talking about him a lot, but I just absolutely loved him.
Well, you know, so what my takeaway is from that is, again, we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the origin story.
Yeah.
And part of your origin story are those influential personalities yeah. that, you know, that you encounter in those times in your life.
Yeah.
And so I think absolutely, you know, relevant to this conversation.
Good, good, good. I'm glad I didn't get off too far off base with everything. But it's true. I always tell people I get an opportunity to talk to, you know, neophyte and novice people getting into the business or young people, and I just tell them, enjoy yourself with it. Do things that you enjoy. Work super hard. Learn as much as you possibly can, and learn about mathematics and engineering, because that's important. That's super important too, and you'll mm-hmm. use it mm-hmm. in the real world. And I use my math. I'm an amateur mathematician, like I said, a math magician. But I use that when I construct, when I set my goals, when I craft my screenplays, mm-hmm. when I do my novels, mm-hmm. when I publish things, mm-hmm. that's all part of it. Those metrics and that, you know.
Well, you know, to me that speaks to the multidimensional nature of successful people. So in my, you know, broader experience, I've encountered a lot of people who are successful in, you know, various different aspects of life, but generally if you dig deeper, you understand that they're multidimensional people.
Yeah.
And you draw from all of those different things.
Yeah.
Different times.
You bet. You want to be well-rounded mm-hmm. when you go into anything, you know, no matter what your profession is, no matter what your love is, you want to be well-rounded. Because you want to find connectivity too, even like if you're an engineer and you're trying to sell a building product or whatever, mm-hmm. you still need to connect with that person. You just can't give them all the plain and simple mathematics and engineering science behind it. You have to connect as a human, and then you use your personality and charisma and humor and a little song and dance. But mm-hmm. that's what it mm-hmm. is. It literally is song and dance. You know, so anybody that's a super successful person too that I've realized are really usually super articulate mm-hmm. and they know a lot about a lot of things.
Yeah, and that I'll tell you, early in my career, and this is my sort of professional day job type career, I had a mentor tell me that I needed to be an expert at something. He said, pick something, I don't care what it is, but learn it better than anybody else and be an expert at that thing. And I thought that's completely inconsistent with who I am as a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I will say, so I didn't follow his advice,
yeah.
first of all. And ever since then, I've been very successful knowing a little bit about a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's almost counterintuitive because it's like Sir Thomas More. He was a man for all seasons. He said a woman or a man or a woman, should be well versed and well trained in all these things, because no matter what situation comes upon him or her, they're going to be fairly successful. I get into arguments with people. I go, if you're blind, you know, have blinders on and learn one specific thing to the exclusion of everything else, you know, true geniuses in my mind are Leonardo da Vinci, are Einstein, who mm-hmm. also not only got math but all kinds of different things. They were the true geniuses of geniuses because they knew a lot about a lot of different things, not just one thing. And it all interconnects.
Mm-hmm.
And the more interconnectivity you have, the better you're going to be in your chosen profession. So, yeah, when people – I had that saying, put some blinders on, Dan. You're all over the place. No, I'd much rather learn. That's the thing, man. We're given one ride here on this earth, and all the beautiful things that we can learn and experience, why not?
Yeah, so that, as I've gotten older, one of the sentiments that I've shared with people fairly often is that I live life like I haven't done the most interesting thing yet.
Yeah.
So for me, the most interesting thing that I'm ever going to do in life is yet to come.
Yeah, wow. And that's amazing. And just in having that positive outlook and attitude, and that's essentially setting a goal and visualizing it and seeing it. Mm-hmm. It's manifesting it. It's like I'm ready for the next thing and moving towards that. And I'm going to take it with open arms, you know?
Yeah, and along with that, the idea of reinventing yourself.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's never too late, you know? Just enjoy yourself. And I always tell people, if you're not having fun at what you're doing, do something different.
I agree with that.
You know?
Yeah, it's not worth it. So I want to take a few minutes. We're getting towards the end of the episode here, and I wanted to take just a few minutes. So thinking back to my inspiration on why this podcast, again, it was about people who are getting it done, making it happen in the world of music and entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I love all these people. They're just amazing people. I want to have them over for a cocktail. But then I want to talk about how are they getting it done. And when I think about the audience for this podcast, I sort of imagine people who are at the precipice of a decision about what they're going to do with their life, or are they going to go all in on an idea or pursue something. And so I always feel like, so everybody on my podcast so far has been completely different in terms of their career, thing that they're pursuing, from authors to musicians to actors to people who own, production companies or talent agencies or, people that work in theater, booking acts. I mean, there's so many different types of careers in the music and entertainment world.
Yeah.
So, but as I think about like what would be helpful to them, you know, just kind of like the down to the sort of like the reality of the world, like what pays the bills for you? So I'm really interested if you could kind of just speak to that. You don't have to get specific, but just kind of generally where does the income come from in your world?
So again, I'm more of a famous actor in Africa and the diaspora of the African people living in Berlin, Germany, and London, and, you know, Toronto, and even Atlanta. It has a huge West African population. So that's, I'm more famous there. And I always, my joke is, in America, 9 bartenders and my garbage man know who I am. And it's only because I'm very fastidious about my recycling and I, you know, drink a lot. So, but for me, that's kind of, you know, most of it is filmmaking, you know, mm-hmm. And then I started a publishing house called Renegade Press. Publisher, and that's, I just kind of got into that when I wrote my first book. I learned so much about the publishing business, and I enjoy that. It's a learning curve because it's always changing. You know, Amazon is the biggest bookseller in the world. But primarily acting, you know, mm-hmm. Screenplay writing secondarily, but acting pretty much, you know, covers me and takes care of me. And
yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I don't live extravagantly, but I don't want for anything.
Yeah. And that, know? I mean, at the end of the day, if you get to do what you love.
That's the thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's most, my grandfather, his favorite quote was from Henry David Thoreau, "Most men live lives of quiet desperation," you know, because they're not doing their heart's desire. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important. You know, God wants you to do your heart's desire. A man is what he desires in his heart, and follow that. I mean, I always tell people, if I'm able to do this with an IQ just a few cocktails away from a rhesus monkey, anyone can.
That's a great one-liner. I'm sure we're going to use that.
It's true. So I'm not anything special. I'm very average, but I'm a hard worker, and I see myself becoming these. Mm-hmm. I visualize it.
And, yeah. Another sentiment that I think resonates with me. I think it's partly a Midwest thing, but I always tell my kids, any amount of success that I've had isn't because I'm smarter than anybody else. Really, it's not just the hard work, but the persistence.
Yeah. Sir Winston Churchill, you know, never, ever, ever quit. Mm-hmm. I'm doggedly persistent. I don't quit. I did this interview a couple years ago at the BBC, and they said, what's kind of your key to success? And I said, that's a great question. I think I'm too stupid to quit. You know? Seriously, I am. I've never, ever given up. And, you know, when you come from nothing, you have nothing to lose, you know?
So, on that note, I would like to wrap us up here, get you on the road, because I know you've got an appointment. There's two things I want to cover. One is, where can people find out more about Dan Davies, your projects and things like that? Just a couple of resources for people to look into.
Yeah, if you'd like, renegadepresspublisher.com is my company. It has a little bit of background on myself. My Wikipedia page is horribly in need of updates. I guess you're not supposed to update it yourself because these admins, they know my IP something address on my. They know it's me.
Interesting. Like, okay, yeah. I'm not aware. I don't
one
have a Wikipedia
from Germany,
page. So.
I can just tell. Dan, what are you doing? You're not supposed. You know, he's like Arnold. I'm like, oh shit. But Wikipedia under Dan Davies, actor, and but IMDb as well under Dan Davies, Renegade Press publisher, and a couple of films coming out in 2024. Happy Birthday, June 15. It's going to be in West Bend, Wisconsin, and let's see, Lion and the Narcissist, and another kind of a neat thriller horror film called Without a Name, where I kind of play a deranged preacher. They're kind of typecasting me.
I was going to say that.
Bad guys are deranged preachers, which, you know, I don't mind being a deranged preacher. I just don't want to be a bad guy. But in real life. But yeah, so a lot of good projects coming out, and I'm just real fortunate, real blessed.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm looking forward to that. If I have an opportunity to attend those premieres,
please come down. Bring 27 of your kids. You'll get the kid discount.
Perfect. I love it. I think they would enjoy that too. But Dan, the last thing before we wrap it up here, we got to name this cocktail.
Yeah, shoot, Mike. Gosh darn it. You know, I don't want to be so, should I just put your name in it, Dan Davies? Call it the Daninator. You know, I don't want to have that be that guy that has that huge of an ego.
What would you say that? The Dan fashioned, it was something like that.
Yeah,
that came up
the
with
old
early.
Dan fashioned, maybe. Something, yeah, old Dan fashioned.
So there was that, and then there was the Cana.
The Cana.
From the little bit in the intro, the elixir popped into
my
head.
Yeah, the elixir. If we bring that in, then West of Thunder, call it the Thunder Elixir. Or the Elixir of Thunder, or West of Elixir.
The Elixir of Thunder. Yeah. That's a very, very, like, I went to WWE when I was like, okay, the Elixir of Thunder.
Yeah, it's like a 6'5", 300-pound WWE wrestler. Thunder Elixir. I mean, maybe we could leave it open to your audience. I mean, if they really wanted to come up with something, it's tasty. It's old fashioned, like an old fashioned, mm-hmm. but it harkens mm-hmm. back to the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, the speakeasies.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe a little bit of follow up research to
because it's not really coming to me right now, but it's Lulu and you really crafted. This is amazing.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm glad you appreciate it and enjoy it because
wow,
it to me was very well crafted. And again, Lulu has done a fine job, and so we're
like,
gonna.
I am
keep using Lulu, but
very, very, very impressed with it.
Yeah.
And again, I'm predominantly a beer, and then secondarily red wine. So not much of a cocktail drinker, sure. But yeah. Shit, this would make me one. Make me even worse of a high-functioning alcoholic.
I can say this will cure what ails you.
Yeah, so wow. No, it's awesome. So this is awesome. Thank you, Mike. This has been great.
Well, we don't quite have a name yet. We've got a few options, so stay tuned on that idea. But other than that, Dan, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, Mike, this is so much
fun. And I enjoyed our time together, and hopefully this isn't the last cocktail.
No, for sure. I would love to, and thank you again for having me on your show, and I'm proud of what you're doing, and proud of, you know, being just all the things that you do. You are truly a man for all seasons, and number one, first and foremost, man of God. Second of all, great, wonderful husband and dad. And that's how
Thanks,
it should
Dan.
Be.
I'm glad that came through. I mean,
well, it's the truth.
Appreciate
I can tell.
Appreciate the comments
and
there.
And it's not the alcohol talking.
Well, okay. Again, listeners, cocktail enthusiasts, my guest today was Dan Davies. And thank you, Dan, for being here. It's been a pleasure. And with that, we're going to sign off. And we'll get back to you on the name. So thanks again, Dan.
Yeah, oh, you're welcome, Mike.
Oh, hey, one more thing. We'd love it if you followed us on social. Amperitif on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Pinterest. And Amperitif Podcast on Instagram.